From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series of studies in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. On the previous broadcast, he began a message entitled, The Effect of the Unction of the Spirit upon the People of God. The text is 1 John 2, verses 20 and 27, where Christians are spoken of as having an unction from the Holy One. This is equivalent to being baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. It happens at the moment of conversion, and it produces a number of important effects in the lives of believers. The first effect is authority, or that which enables the Christian to serve the Lord with power. Christ was anointed as our prophet, priest, and king, and there is a sense in which every Christian is to execute those roles in this world. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns takes a few minutes to call attention to his booklet, A New Beginning, a publication designed for those who are serious about learning how to be saved and how to grow in the Christian life. Today he speaks of the second coming of Christ, or the truth that Christ will appear.
In Hebrews chapter 9, there are three great statements about the appearings of the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle tells us he once appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Then he tells us he now appears in the presence of God for us. And finally, he tells us he will appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He once appeared, he now appears, he will appear. Now, when you think of appearances, you know the saying appearances can be deceptive. Well, they can. Certainly when the Son of God came to earth the first time, he didn't look like the King of Glory. He didn't look as if he were the Creator of all things. He didn't look anything that would attract the attention of men. He was born in a manger, or laid in a manger. He was born in poverty. He didn't have the appearance of being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he was. The appearances surrounding his birth were deceptive. But there'll be no mistaking who he is when he appears the second time. The Bible says he will appear the second time. He will appear this time without sin. He will appear not to be the sin offering, but as the judge of all the earth. When Jesus comes again, as he will, tell me, will he appear as your Savior, or will he appear as your judge? Now, it's going to be one or the other. Let's get this absolutely clear in our minds. Christ is coming again. Do not be fooled. I know that the world's going on as if he were never coming again. And I know that the foolish rantings of some preachers of prophecy, and they're actually not preaching prophecy at all, they're preaching their own imaginations and dressing it up to look like Bible teaching and prophecy. Most of what you hear from prophetic teachers is rubbish. And certainly all that you hear from those who are telling you when the Lord is coming and making millions and millions of dollars out of millions and millions of books and videos sold of things that have not happened and will not happen, as they say, it's all rubbish. And because of that, many people just dismiss the whole notion of Christ coming again. But he is coming again. He's coming suddenly. He's coming gloriously. He's coming visibly. He's coming in power. He's coming in the clouds. He is coming again. Are you ready for him coming? Because I want to tell you, whether he calls you into eternity through death or comes again in person during your lifetime, understand this. He's going to come as your Savior. He's going to come as your judge. The Bible makes this very clear when it describes the coming of Christ. It speaks of his coming as it affects the believers. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Bible also speaks of his coming as it affects the unbelievers, because it says, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, that he shall come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It goes on to say that he'll destroy them. That does not mean annihilate them. It means he'll bring awful judgment upon them. Here is the coming of Christ as it relates to believers and unbelievers. He's going to come as your Savior or as your judge. Jesus is coming again. Be ye also ready. There's only one way to be ready for Christ's coming, and that is for you to come to Christ. Receive him in repentance and faith as your Savior, your Redeemer, and your Lord.
When he shall come, resplendent in his glory, to take his own from off his hill of night, away I go, the joy at his appearing. Only at dawn to walk with him in white.
And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving phone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed his word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of God's Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning. This booklet is a plain man's guide to the way of salvation and going on with God. For a free copy of A New Beginning or of any of the other literature we mention, please contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a new feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, are there true prophets in the church today? Or, why does God allow suffering? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Want us to think then upon the effects of the unction of the Spirit of God upon the people of God. I want us to pay attention to the lessons that are involved in this statement, ye have an unction from the Holy One. I take the Holy One here to be Christ Himself. And the unction, answering to the oil in the Old Testament, is the Spirit of God. When Christ was anointed, we read He was anointed with the Holy Ghost. When we receive an anointing from the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive the anointing with the Holy Ghost. So, I want us to think then on the effects of this unction of the Spirit upon the people of God. The effects can be summed up under four very simple headings, and I want us to look at them like that today. The first effect is empowerment. And I use that word in the restricted sense of authority. The unction of the Spirit is God's way of imparting authority to the people of God. Let's just refer back for a moment to Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. And notice the wording there. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. The word power there is not the word that means authority. It is the word that speaks of ability. You'll notice, therefore, that the Scripture here is drawing a distinction between being anointed with the Holy Ghost and anointed with power in the sense of dynamic ability. It is quite in order for God's people to realize their need of an anointing with power every time they go to serve the Lord. I am not speaking of that fullness of power at this point in time. That will come later. I want us today to concentrate on the anointing of the Spirit. Obviously, the anointing of the Spirit and the anointing of power are kept distinct in Acts 10 and 38. I'm thinking of the anointing of the Spirit in the sense of authority. Now, that's the meaning of it right through the Old Testament. When the high priest was anointed, the basic significance was that God had set him aside. That he had God's authority for what he was doing. When David was anointed king, it was saying to Samuel, and then later to the whole nation, that this is God's man. He is not a self-appointed man. His authority does not reside in the mere force of his personality. It does not reside in the choice of the people. It does not reside at the end of his sword. The authority of this king resides in his divine appointment. Similarly, with the prophet Elisha, when God anointed him through Elijah, he was saying, "This is my prophet." And what he says with my authority. You see, the anointing is an empowerment in the sense of giving divine authority to the recipient of it. Now we come back to the New Testament statements. It is said to the people of God, "Ye have an unction." You have an anointing from the Holy One. This is God's stamp of empowering authority upon the people of God. While it is true that the anointing of the prophet, priest, and king in the Old Testament has its greatest fulfillment in Christ, it nonetheless has a counterpart in the life of every Christian, and not just in the lives of those who are called as preachers, evangelists, missionaries, etc. There is a sense in which every Christian is privileged to be a prophet, a priest, and a king. I emphasize this. I am glad to say, and I have no hesitation in confessing it, I am a confirmed Protestant. I believe that Protestantism and Bible Christianity, properly understood, are synonymous. I have no time whatsoever for the sentiments of evangelicals who crow that they are not Protestants. That's another story. I am a Protestant. At the heart of the Protestant Reformation was a return to Bible teaching on the fact that there is a priesthood for all believers. There is a kinghood for all believers. Thank God there is a prophetic office for all believers. As prophets, every Christian knows the will of God, certainly in its most basic and most necessary aspect. Every Christian knows the will of God as regards salvation, and every Christian has the right and the authority and the privilege and the duty to proclaim it. I do not for one minute believe, and there are some people who have adopted this view, I do not for one minute believe that witnessing belongs only to the man in the pulpit. Many a time in this pulpit I have quoted from the statements of A.W. Pink, and I have said that in much of his literature, you'll find that which uplifts and is in many ways some of the best exposition on a devotional level of the scriptures of truth that you could find coming from this 20th century. And yet I have to warn that in some of the later literature, he espoused this notion that Christians ought not to witness, that this belongs to the ordained man. My friend, I say this morning without fear of contradiction from Scripture, that while there is an ordination to the Christian ministry, There is a divine unction on every Christian that gives him the right to speak up for Jesus Christ. And what we need in America today is not less witnessing, but more witnessing. What we need is not Christians to shut up, but to speak up. And to let this nation know the glories of the person of our Redeemer. We have an authority to witness. I want you to remember that. When you step out into the world, when you face the world of the ungodly, when you go into the place of business, or when you come into contact with unsaved people, and God gives opportunity to witness, the devil will try to seal your lips. He will remind you of your lack of education. He will remind you of your lack of knowledge of Greek and Hebrew. He will tell you that you might forget the text of Scripture. He will tell you you're not a very fluent speaker. He will tell you this person will be able to mock you, and the devil will try to shame you into total silence. But man, I want you to remember, God says, you have an unction. You have an authority. The Spirit of God gives you the right to speak up for Christ. And with that right, there is the implicit promise of enabling grace. Oh, thank God we have in every Christian the privilege of prophetic witness. Thank God also in every Christian there is the privilege of spiritual priesthood. That constant access to the throne of God through the blood of atonement. To bring to God the spiritual sacrifices of the calves of our lips, of the praises of our heart, of the expressions of joy from a redeemed soul, to bring to the Lord the plea of the precious blood, and on the ground of that blood to claim God's answer to our petition and God's fulfillment to His promises. My friend, I say this to you today. When we come to pray, we are not coming merely to multiply words. When we come to pray, we are not coming to twist God's arm to extract some a blessing that He doesn't want to give. When we come to pray, we are not trying to change God in any one way. When we come to pray, we are coming with the authority of the Spirit of God to come on the ground of the blood of the Son of God, to lift up the promises of the Word of God, and to see enacted in us and through us the very will of God. This is the right and the authority of every believer, for we have an unction from the Holy One. Bless God, that unction makes us kings. We have a royal dignity and a royal victory. I was reading an old Irish Presbyterian minister. I would to God we had a few like him in Irish Presbyterianism today. And he was speaking on each Christian being a prophet, a priest, and a king. And speaking of a Christian as a king, he said he maintains a controversy with the Lord's enemies and acknowledges no authority but His. I like that. That's the kind of kingship I believe in. There is a new theology going about today. I'm not going to get into the philosophy of it this morning. I have some things in it that I admire, and I have many things in it that I fear. But the whole notion of dominion and reconstruction seems to me to be in terms that are far from gospel terms and scriptural terms. The kind of dominion that a Christian needs to start exercising is spiritual dominion. And when he has spiritual dominion, God will use him even in the physical realm and in the political realm and in every other realm. God will make an impact through men who have spiritual dominion. And I want to say that this dominion needs to start being exercised in the church. We'll see this as we go on. It needs to be exercised first against our own sin.
We need to have a controversy with our own flesh. My, we're living in such ease. We just capitulate to the flesh so easily. It is time for the people of God to realize we have an anointing as kings to have a controversy with our own sins. It's very easy to have a controversy with somebody else's sins. It's very easy to have a controversy with somebody else's failures. My friend, there is a time, and I believe it has come, when God's people would do well to recognize, as kings and priests unto God, we need to be upon our knees to be claiming victory over the old man, over the old lusts, over the old flesh, over the mind of the flesh and the motives of the flesh. But God would truly give us that holiness of life that is well becoming to the people of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.